Hello and welcome to Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork. I'm the Pork.
I'm Blake.
And also joining us is our very special permanent guest, all the way from the West Coast of the United States of America, is our wonderful Matthew Heather Locklear, Hollywood Lanevez. Matthew?
Drove the Chevy to the levee. I'm here, lads. Happy to be here. Happy to win. How glorious is it to beat the once almighty Tytoons, the previously known Seagulls, or the Giants?
Mm-hmm. You know how sometimes a win feels like a loss?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
I mean, in the end, we did well to get out of jail. No. You know, and I thought with 30 seconds to go, whatever it was, I was okay. I'm happy to settle for the 1 point.
This is what Blarkay said to me. I'm happy to settle. And I said, no, I'm not. I'd prefer to lose than settle for a 1 point at this. And he said, I was cutting the nose off to spite my face. And that's exactly how I felt. I prefer to lost that than drawn it.
Anyway, thanks to a bit of strange.
Personally, I know you guys are there, so you're probably a little bit upset, you know, because of the stress and that cortisone or whatever is just leaving your system. But when we've got an 18-year-old fullback, a 19-year-old 5'8", you've got seven players that have played less than 30 games. So Schiller, Savage, Mooney, Hosking, Mariota, and Smithies, and you win a first grade game and you win a tight game, mate, that's going to do so much for our club. That win is as important, and I would celebrate it as much as the one previously against the Eels. We lost those games in the past.
Yeah.
And two of our young players that have played less than... It's, mate, that win is so important to build character, to build some camaraderie.
What really sort of frustrated me at the game, and so we were sitting on that, on, I guess it's the northwestern corner.
Yeah.
And that's where in the second half, you know, the Raiders had set after set, trying to break the Titans line, and just threw up just like, you know, some of the worst red zone attack we've seen from the Raiders.
And that's really saying something. Yeah. Pretty ordinary red zone attack from the Raiders.
Pretty much one out, or when they spun it, they went sideways. There wasn't really much, you know, bodies in motion and then it was just, you know, a kick at the end. And look, Jamal was great. He was fantastic in that game. But before we cover off on the game too much, we should go into the news. And before we go into the news, Tim, I've got something I want to give you. Now, I know you think that Matthew and I don't love you. And,
I know you don't.
And that
I do. I love you, though, Tim.
I think with the restraining order then, Matthew? With the restraining order?
Mate, distance makes the heart grow fonder. So
I'm getting to that. But, you know, and you've also said you think that we only keep you on the show just to make fun of you and to ridicule you. And
look, no, I said you kept me on here because I was the eye candy, is what I said.
Anyway, to show our appreciation, Matthew and I have got together. We've got you a little present, and this is it. This is a audio podcast, so you can't see it. But do you know what this is?
It's a running belt.
It's a special running belt. It's got a little water bottle. You can put your wallet, your keys. You won't need to wear your cargo shorts anymore when you go running, or your heavy leather and metal belt. It's a special little, not too much water. You don't want to
that's where you put your energy drink, right?
Oh, right, right.
Your special boot when you're tiring towards the end, and the 80-year-old is taking you over. I'll wear this Saturday with my Blake shirt on, and I'll send you a photo from the Coombs Park run. I stagger across the line in 419th place.
Anyway, let's get into the news. Massive news today. Absolutely fantastic news.
The best news you can have.
Yeah. Ethan Strange has re-signed until 2028. And 2028 is one of those years to me. It just sounds so far away, like my head starts spinning.
It doesn't really exist.
When I try and contemplate, it's just like, oh my God, this is 2028. That's so far away.
Is it true? Does 28, will that come? I mean, will it come? I don't know, but if it does, well, we'll worry about it then.
Yeah, will we be around to see you at the end of his contract?
Nah, look, I'm on my latter years now, so I don't know. But look, it's fantastic, fantastic news, and I know it's interspersing with the review of the game, and I know I got up and Blarkay will have a go at me and screamed out the wrong name when I was screaming, "You beautiful man, go!" And I screamed out.
He was running down the sideline, you know, in the dying seconds, the position. He starts screaming out, "Go, Colonel, go!" And I was like, man,
I just got the Colonel and the doctor confused. That's all.
Not just the wrong name, the wrong club.
I was excited. I was excited.
Clearly.
I was very excited. I saw him go and I thought, thank God, I knew he could do it. I was excited and he went off.
And he was smart, though. He was smart.
I reckon he could have done it. I looked back at the replay. I reckon if he'd pinned his ears back, he could have done it. But he was so smart. He came back inside and went,
They set up for the field. It was smart. It was the only option would have been the chip and chase, which, you know,
I think he could have stepped in. I think he could have outrun the first cover defender, and I think he could have stepped on the outside of the other.
No, he made the right decision. And
I know he made the right decision, but I know he could have.
Here's a question for both of you. If that was Jack in the open, what do you think he would have done?
The wrong thing.
He would have smacked right into the runner, a la when Ryan Pappenhuysen came at him, and he just ran straight into him and smashed his knee.
That he would have kicked it into Rose Ed.
I love Jack. But you probably would have kicked it.
Yeah, I do love Jack. Yes, but it was huge news.
But huge news. I only saw actually during the weekend that good friend of the show, Brent Reed,
massive friend,
took some time off from
giving us hope
from Feeder Watch, and suggested that there was a good strong possibility that Ethan Strange would be going to the Roosters because his dad's coach of the NRLW team. Which
I'm starting. You know what? Because I watched 360 last night. I actually think Brent Reed's just a troll.
Yeah.
Like I watch him get on and he just baited every New South Welshman and that because they started talking State of Origin. He obviously has a couple of connections with a couple of clubs. He's close to the guys at South. Yeah, the managers. He's close to the managers. He's close to the guys at South. He's close to the managers in Kalen at Newcastle. And he's not as close to some of the guys in Queensland as the other fella up there. But
Peter Bedell.
You can tell he's got some mail and then the rest, he's just a troll. It's like...
Read his mail in this case was no good. But I've actually had quite a few interesting not everyone who listens to this is obviously on Twitter, but I've had some interesting interactions with Brent Reed on Twitter. He hasn't blocked me yet. I mean, I haven't said anything personally abusive. Yeah, I don't think he is.
There are some people.
You goaded him today. Look, he might be blocked after this podcast, I think.
The thing is, there's been a few key people like Buzz, and we know he'll never unblock me, but I don't read a thing he says. I don't listen to a word he says anymore.
Yeah, well, because you can't.
Regardless of blocking, let's get back to him.
He's on there. Anyway, news. Yep.
Regardless of blocking, let's get back to the strange news. And what's amazing about not just that is that we're building a culture around some of these great players. So if you watched that video with Chevy Stewart last week and his family, they spoke and his parents spoke about how pivotal Strange and Schiller was in getting him and making him comfortable at the club. Yeah. And now they're talking that Colonel's going to come down because of the connection that he has with those three boys. There's something building here, and the two of the players that won that game in the pivotal moments on the weekend were 18 and 19 years old.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. We were excited pre-season, thinking, "Oh, 2025 is going to be great." Yeah, and now it's
one guy who said at the beginning of the season, "I think we're a top four side."
The eternal optimist.
Wasn't optimist. I looked at it. I saw it for what it is. I think this could work out well. I think this is a top four side.
Look,
so far I'm right.
The challenge has been getting star players to the club, and then obviously we've gone with the new strategy, which is to recruit junior stars and then bring them into the system. And then, of course, the naysayers like the Brent Reeds of this world assume that as soon as these guys do come any good, they're going to immediately want to leave to greener pastures. A couple of things. Grass isn't always greener. Ask Anthony Milford. I mean, we could go into Anthony Milford watch, but I mean, think about the highs and lows of his career at Suncorp
Todd
Stadium.
Todd Carney watch.
Yeah.
Josh Dugan watch.
He's gone from the hero to the villain. Once he was the bright young thing, and now he's the guy buddy bashing new bright young thing. But if I was Rico, I'd use that as a cautionary tale. If Anthony Milford had stayed at the Raiders, do you think his career long term would have panned out better? Look at Papa. You know, he's made probably just as much money. He's played for Queensland and Australia a gazillion times.
I don't know.
And you can do it without the pressure and the spotlight and the level of expectation.
There is that, but the Milford no signing, which came along with Maria Hargrove's turning us down and Ennis turning us down, led us into Whitehead, led us into Hodgson, led us into a whole lot of players.
I'm not talking about from us. I'm not talking from our point of view. I'm talking purely from Anthony Milford's point of view.
Yeah, but from his career, players aren't in Canberra. I don't think Milford does as well as he does in 2015 in Brisbane.
Yeah, but it was pretty much all downhill.
But at that point in that season, he was outstanding and he was every...
But I mean, in terms of, like, you look at his career now, he's 29 or 28, he's completely washed up.
Oh, he's just gone. One
of the main things that we're overlooking is the strength of our club in developing young talent.
Yeah.
So we're able to turn players into first grade players and into, look at Matty Tomoko. You know, and Seb Chris is another example. Mm-hmm. Jack White's an example. Papali'i is an example. Tarpin is an example. Hudson Young's an example. We have the ability, and it's through great coaching and a great culture in that city, where it's a one town club, and they're close. They're like we just said.
But
about,
that's an advantage. Like, this is a thing people think
that Canberra's a massive advantage.
People think that Canberra's a deterrent, but you have a culture. You look at the culture now. I spoke to someone at the start of the season who's been at the club longer than just about anyone, right? And they said to me, going into this season, the vibe amongst the playing group, he reckons was the best he'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. And he also put it down to a bit of stuff that Alan Tung was doing, is they brought in Alan Tung for his mentorship and his leadership.
And with the hockey coach. I heard that as well. And what they put this, it happened a couple of years ago with Ricky when there was a bit of that player unrest. So he actually reevaluated the way that he coaches, and he's putting a lot more onus on the leadership group. You think if you look at the press conference on the weekend and some of the press over the last 2 weeks, Tarpany talks about that, the ownership that they're taking personally. Mm-hmm. And I just see the way that they're in, the Canberra Raiders have done it for years. They've paired up people that have come to the club with other players. Papali'i live with someone, right? So to think that now Ethan Strange has just signed to 2028 and he was living away from his home for the first time with somebody else, and he feels secure enough and confident enough to sign a 5-year contract is unbelievable, dude. Mm-hmm. And we know Sanders is probably the next one coming. And then we know Trey Mooney's probably going to re-sign. And we'll get to that in the news.
Hopefully.
I'm sure some
hopefully
people,
he does.
I think he will. I think they're lining up the money with the Papali'i money. And then if you think about Puru, he's the captain of Cup. Yeah. And I mean, and we're also missing Smithy. Smithy's played an amazing game on the weekend. He hasn't missed a beat. This is a kid who's 20, what?
But it's
23, 24.
We all know, and I'm well on the record, that I am a zealot of Ricky Stewart, right? And also Andrew Bishop, who's with him, and also of, you know, Don in the club. But I really do want to make a segment of, you know, why
Andrew Bishop is the guy that looks a bit like Kenny Rogers, in case you're wondering who the guy in the box is that looks a bit like Kenny Rogers.
Take that as a compliment. but I really do want to have, you know, a segment of why we love Joel Carbone, because, you know, so much of this stuff's him. So he's just done such a magnificent job.
Yeah.
Such a magnificent
job.
Got
a few quotes here from Ethan Strange in the Canberra Times upon the re-signing. "This place has become my home and I love it. And all the boys here. I'm loving the way my footy is going and the coaches trust in me. They don't put too much pressure on me and it makes a great place to play footy. Having other guys I've played with who are my really good mates, like Chevy and Mickey, who's Osamua, all staying a bit longer makes it easy for me. It's great to see the club has put the trust in me to sign long term, and I'm excited to see what we can build." And those are the same sort of sentiments that Matt Timico had when he was playing. You know, there's a real sense
with
this young group that, you know,
at this stage in the season, these are really good messages to be coming out and people being locked down. You know, it's like not one of those horrible years when you're going, "Oh, is Bateman going to stay? Is he going to go?" And it drags out and really brings everything down. Having these positive things this early in the season can only be good for us.
If you're a Trey Mooney or a Puru, or if you're, you know, Colonel Sanders, where's the culture good right now? Where are you thinking of signing? Who's overachieving? Overachieving, according to some media.
That's right.
That's about it. But you're not going to Souths. Roosters is questionable.
Parramatta's, you're not going to Manly. You're not going to the Dogs. Like this,
West Tigers is, you know, maybe
West Tigers on the up. Dolphins
Dragons maybe
on the up.
No, you're going to the Raiders, man. Like,
yeah, no, I agree with that.
We have one of the youngest, if not the youngest, club in the competition.
Well, look,
and
just, I agree with you.
It's built properly because we got the right forward pack with strike out the back. It's just, I don't know, it's an exciting time, and I'm so glad that we're signing the right players, and I look forward in a few weeks when we sign Trey Mooney.
I agree. Now, there was a massive piece of news, and we need to move on to this. It was quite the scandal. In fact, you know, I don't know, can we do the beep here? Because it was the get fuck gate, you know, happened before us, before our eyes on the weekend, you know, Desi. Going through,
was it get fucked or was it fuck me? Everyone says fuck you.
No, so he goes fuck me. He goes fuck me, and he muttered it, but it got, you know, blown
up.
He said fuck me to himself, and then went, he's off his head. But if you realize, if you watch that press conference again, how quickly he responds in that way, it's because he's already had the exchange.
Yeah, he's
with
ready.
Dez. So apparently, the get fucked happened when Dez has come out of his press conference. And Ricky's waiting to go in and said, "Oh yeah, I've said this."
Yeah. Well, they usually, but this is the thing, a few seasons ago, and I can't remember who he was coaching with at the time. I think it was when he was at the Bulldogs. Might have been when he was back in Manly, but I think it's when the Bulldogs. I saw them after a match, after the press conferences are gone, everything. Des and Ricky sitting down after, and Ricky's won in that match, and sitting down and having a chat in the tunnel for about 10 minutes together. Like, no, sitting down, mates, like, mate, yeah, they were mates. So the fact that he's done that and there, that's built on the basis of two people who know each other well enough.
Exactly. And I mean, who hasn't Ricky told to get fucked? Well, I mean, he's told you,
not me, on the number. Oh,
you've shown me the text messages.
Yeah,
it's a
text to text us.
When it's read in print, it looks worse than it is. You know, like, oh, Jesus, yeah, man, when I used to do press, sometimes when you read it back, it was out of control. But when one of the things that I'm glad Paul Kent has done is he's actually pulling back a bit of the curtain on what Des is trying to do. Clearly,
yeah,
and like because of the charge down that Annesley said was offside, it's kind of been skewed. But, you know, I'm glad that Paul Kent actually repeated what Annesley said, but there was 28 instances when they could have been pinged. Like, Des clearly went out and just told his team to cheat. And then when Ricky walks in and he's getting ambushed in an interview, he's like, ah, oh, fuck me. Okay, I'm going to have to answer that. Because they bit. They completely bit on Desi's, because they're 0-4.
And look, it's the last moment. And seizing on the last moment. And we've done that ourselves. We've had the shoe's been on our
foot. Oh, absolutely. And with the Chevy Stewart one, if it was the other way around, we would be upset. But what I would say to that is, show me a successful charge down in Golden Point where the charger down
wasn't
offside. But, they were both offside.
And in regards to that situation, possibly the least offside I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean,
one other thing to you as well? If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's exactly right. But the thing was, when he sets off, what's happened was there's two players at marker, right? And one of them, I can't remember who the second one was, knew they weren't fast enough to get out and had turned around to call someone else to come in second marker and was stuck in no man's land.
But Chevy Stewart wasn't at marker.
He was way back. But the second, because
he also wasn't closest. He also wasn't closest to the ref, which was
the
smart.
The second one, I've forgotten who it was. It was one of the forwards. Realizes they're not going to be able to get out there in time and is turning around to get out to call someone else in, but it's all too late. And Chevy sees this and heads off.
Was it Solo? Was he on the field?
It might have been Solo, but it's fits about the image I got in my head. But Chevy at most is half a meter offside. At most.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it is touch and go. Like, we've seen offside and we've seen that.
And it's a bigger 10 as well.
Not just that. It's not like the game when we played against Penrith with the block charges and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate Golden Point. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
The fact that it becomes it's just about, and you know, it comes down to field goals. But I have to say, if you want to watch the Raiders play calm, incredible possession based football, go watch Golden Point. We were fantastic. Mm. And that comes down to the fact that we let them back in the last 5 minutes of the game. And, you know, Fogarty spoke about it after the game with his bomb. You know,
that was terrible.
So he took the onus.
Every other kick he did throughout the game was bang on. But yeah, that one was, it was supposed to be a spiral talk, but it came off the side of his foot.
And we didn't need to do it. So watch that set of sticks and then go back and watch the extra time. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic for us, because remember when we had a couple of games a year or two ago and we went to Golden Point, or we went down to the last 5 minutes and it was chaos ball?
Yeah.
And I was like, who's going to fucking kick it? We had a chance to kick it. And I was like,
what Ricky's talking about. We're not panicking as much.
No.
And our error rate, I know we made errors on the weekend and some of them are not crash hot, but in that Golden Point, I wasn't actually scared of us making error, where other ones I've been going, when is it coming from? Who's spilling the ball? Who's spilling the ball? And we did do one and we got away with it. But in general, yeah, it was pretty calm. Look, I'll tell you who, though, hasn't been calm. And we've been very lucky. We have a lot of pull on this show, Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork and Matthew. And Des has decided to come speak with us.
It's Des Hasler coming to you from the planet Melmac. Hey Ricky, fuck you, too, mate. It was great to hear from the hard running, Graeme Annesley, that the officials did indeed err in the fact that young Chevy Stewart was offside there. Cheers, Graham. That really made my day. That's going to bring, give us the 2 points, isn't it? Good on you, Anno. I think most even Raiders fans would be forced to admit they had their share of luck in that game of rugby league. Our boys were brave. They tackled their dicks off. But the rugby league gods weren't smiling down on us. It is true that there was a confrontation between me and Rick in the sheds after the game. Words were exchanged. But at the end of the day, I think we're still mates. Ricky, don't lose that number. You don't want to call nobody else. Go you Titans.
Well, you have to see it from his side of views.
Yeah, what, you do.
You know,
you do.
You got a feel for the Titans.
Well, no. But, I mean, you could look at it that way. You could say,
No, you don't. He's deflected.
We should cover off on it for
75 minutes.
We should cover off on a bit more news. Zach Hosking, obviously, very sad news.
Oh, goodness.
That his shoulder popped out. There's two scenarios. Either he rehabs it and he's out for, what is it, like 4 weeks? 4 to 6
That's
weeks?
That's what they're doing.
Or he gets surgery. Yeah, or he gets surgery, which I thought was season, but now people at NRL Physio are saying would be 3 months, which would sort of see him return in July. But Matt, you've got the update.
Or they're just saying they're going to reassess it in 2 weeks, which is a good sign. So obviously they're looking at the inflammation around the joint, the bruising, the blood, the swelling, and they're going to rehab it as much as they can and assess it. We have a bye in a few weeks, then we have another bye in about 6 weeks. So it's
no one loves that... talking about the bye more than you.
You do love the bye.
Well, I like to break up the season, and I look at our draw and I think, okay, we've got.
He's some like, hard games most of us look at the draw at the start of the year and go, oh, yeah, so we're playing.
We're playing this. Then, no, but Matt's
about it's bye, bye here, bye there.
He's the king of the bye. That's what he is.
Well, I just know how hard it is. I don't know how hard it is. I can imagine how hard it is to play first grade rugby league, and they must use those buys to rehab. And then when you get injuries,
no, it is smart. You do make a good point about the buy.
I always thought Chevy would get his chance after the first buy.
Yeah,
and now you can see that they've probably put Horsburgh, Whitehead, Rapana until maybe after the second buy. So we'll see. But
we will.
You know, I just like getting 2 points when you don't play. So did the Gold Coast.
That's always nice.
We saw Hopper. He was sitting. A couple of seats. Gary Wells was sitting next to us. Some of Chevy's young 18-year-old mates who'd been on the drink for at least 3 days.
Yeah,
and then they had to put up with the pork chewing their ear off.
I was basically just apologising. I think they thought they traded up from the Sharkies to the Raiders, you know, for this season. And then, you know, as they watched it go away, I said, "Yeah, sorry about this. I'm sorry you have to be experienced to this, but this is the Canberra Raiders."
So Hosking, hopefully it's good news. We wait and see. Off the back of the initial news that Hosking might be gone for the season, another segment that, like, I thought we said goodbye to last week, it's come up yet again.
Beetle Watch!
David Riccio has announced on SEN Radio, I think today, that the Raiders are seriously considering trying to sign David Fafita again to fill the gap.
Kidding.
I'm serious.
It'll never go away. He's destined for us and we're destined for him. It is like, it's one of those things where, you know, it's going to happen. It's like the universe has decided that
we're drawn. He didn't have a bad game on the weekend, I got to say, but he wasn't, you know, coming on and playing through initially through the middle. He wasn't at his like dynamic best. I noticed he picked to start on an edge.
Yeah.
He's the only thing that can turn around momentum for that side at the moment, though, apart from maybe Campbell and Brimo going to fullback. But he's a point of difference. He's strong. He lands on his front. Like, he's a beast. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but he's more, you see, I think he's got more to his game than, you know, just playing the middle forward.
I think he does.
Oh, of course
he does. My question is here, we've just been talking about culture. How do we take this bunch of kids who we're bringing together as a unit and then drop someone in that sort of manner, in a superstar manner,
that's why you
the
don't
middle
do
of it and expect it to work.
Yeah, that's why you don't do it.
Mate, he's still a kid. Have you
I
heard
know he's
anything?
Still a kid, no, but listen, can okay, he still a be a kid?
I can't believe I'm even buying into this bullshit.
We should cut it off soon.
Here's a question. Have you ever, in the last couple of years, heard about David Fifita outside of football? Like causing, like punching someone at the club or...
There was one.
That's a long
time. Told Barley. Barley.
Was that him? No, that was,
yeah.
Wasn't that Nelson Asofa-Sola?
No.
Oh, Barley. Yeah.
He punched out the security guard.
He punched out
the
security
And then paid him, they paid him like 20 grand and then that's all...
When was this?
Oh, it was in Bali.
It was a few years ago. No, it was a few years ago.
I think it was when he was still with Brisbane.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's been chasing since then. I think Matthew's got a point here. He's got a point.
I'll just like to think that our culture is strong enough to turn most players. That's all I'm saying.
You'd think so. And the Raiders generally do. And they thought that with Curtis Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately.
We're wrong. And can Fifita be humble? Can he be humble?
I think he is reasonably humble in his own way. Another back rower, troubled back rower that's been linked with the club in recent days, although the club has actually come out and said, no, we're not interested at all, Josh Schuster.
Mm.
Fuck, Jesus.
Would you sign God, Josh Schuster?
No.
I thought he'd already gone to the Dragons.
Nah.
No. No, I thought that was...
Flanagan came out and said he doesn't want to sign him either.
He's having a break. He's been stood down from training. He's having a break. Hopefully he gets back to his best because he played one good game last year.
I guess so.
Absolutely murdered us.
It's like Flanagan, hooker we got from the West Tigers, played the one good game against us. We signed him and then he was possibly the worst purchase the club's ever had.
But did you watch the reserve grade game where we beat Blacktown at North Sydney Oval last year?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Where Schuster played great, but he also did a lot of bad things.
He did.
We're not signing him. There's no chance we're signing him.
Yeah. Okay. That covers off news. There's been a bit of stadium talk. Both the ACT Labor government and the Liberal opposition have written letters this week to the federal government requesting a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
To get a stadium done, which is the only way it'll ever happen. So we just got to hope that the federal government sees some value in putting money into a stadium in Canberra, which, you know, hasn't been top priority in the past.
Well, what I've heard is there'll be enough people out there who want to see a new stadium in Canberra who are quite happy to go behind candidates who will actually support it, such as David Pocock, who's obviously put it out there. And I don't think the Labor Party wants to split their vote, so maybe we'll get some joy there. You know, maybe we'll get some joy. Who knows? It's beyond us. We don't know. But vote with your feet, people, if you want a new stadium. Tell people what you think. That's what you're out for. Your local members support you.
How's that voting with your feet?
Voting with your feet. You go to the person. You go to the place, the person, the candidate.
Dip your toe in the ink.
You don't just. That's right. You dip your toe in the ink.
Actually,
what is so hard about this for you, Blarko?
We need to encourage everyone to go and get their sausage. But it's a strong Labor seat in Canberra, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I voted for David Pocock at the last.
If it's a swing seat, don't we have more of a chance of getting
exactly?
Exactly.
So shouldn't we be telling everyone to vote for who's not in government?
I won't be giving anybody advice on how they should be doing voting or what their parts are. I am as a person, I have no political opinion whatsoever, nor do I support us prescribing any political opinion. People are free to make their
own
choice.
Could we launch the pork party?
Pork,
vote pork. One. There was a fast train party. Why can't there be a Canberra Stadium party?
There was a fast train party.
There was.
Did we get a fast train?
No, well, they didn't get in,
right.
But
so
they got quite a few votes.
Fill me with hope to start with.
There was a no self-government party as well. And we got
So, no, we have to actually think about a candidate that we could put up that people would actually vote for if we're going to do it. And it's obviously not going to be the pork.
Terry Campese.
Because everyone hates you. Matthew is living in the United States of America,
Ricky?
So it can't be him. Ricky said he doesn't want anything to do
it's
with
it. All roads lead to Raider Nick. Oh, he's from Queanbeyan. So he won't be. Yeah.
Right, I was about to say that's the
okay. Cool. Anyway, let's close off on this.
Okay. So let's look at the last match, right?
Are we going in last claim of the week?
Well, yeah, I thought we were going to do match review. We could do Stand of the Week. Right. Now, we got a fair split this week because there were so many candidates. It's really been such a fertile week for candidates. So I'm going to go first because I got three that I'm going to go through, which aren't really the key ones, but they need a mention. Corey Jensen coming out and saying that the Raiders ambushed them last season and it's because we had the ability to get down and dirty, e.g. cheating and doing stuff. Now, I think that's actually spot in true for last year, what we did. Definitely slowed the ruck down, et cetera, whatever. But this year, when you're looking at Fletcher Baker and Corey Jensen in the front row up against Josh Papali'i and Joe Tarpane, I'm not sure where they're coming. He's coming away from thinking that those guys have to go to underhanded target to get on top of those two. So first ask clown there. Second, Clarkie. You know, it lives across the border from us just here, right? Titan supporter came out, basically, you know, conspiracy theory about the drop goal, no offside and stuff like this. Cry me a river, Clarkie. You should print your opinions on a pineapple and shove them up your ass. And the last, what my ass clown ones is Des Haslam. To point out the field goal is the one option where you sent your men out to hold down every play of the ball and put hands on the ball in every action, absolutely everyone, and slow it down at any cost, to then come back and say, but the rule wasn't upheld here, is absolutely laughable. And you're an ass clown. Who have you got for us, Matthew?
Mate, just to piggyback off yours, not only was Desi one of mine, but also Kieran Foran, AJ Brimson, they completely attacked Arrest Casey Badger.
Oh, you could hear it. I watched the replay. You could hear it.
It was unbelievable how much they bullied her. And I feel really sorry for her. And I'm glad that Annesley and Kent kind of came out and said that there was 28 infringements that she let go. Because that one field goal wasn't the reason they lost the game.
No.
Mine's kind of, it's pulling back. And I don't know who the decision maker was, whether it was Abdo or whatever. But look, I don't like Golden Point. It becomes a very simple game. The whistle gets put away, and it's all about who can win that arm wrestle to kick the field goal. But mine gets back to the short-sightedness of the NRL when it comes to rule changes, and how they even said publicly the reason we're taking away the penalty off a dropout, if it doesn't go 10 or if it goes out, why we're giving it just to a play the ball, it's because we want more contested possession. Now, I can't stand the dropouts anymore. Dropouts, if you're a dominant side and you get a repeat set, you've now got there's a 30% chance that the kicking team gets the ball back. Now, on the weekend, we got a couple, we didn't get a couple. You're on top of the game. Yeah, but we're on top of the game, and we've got young halves, we've got repeat sets. Ethan Strange's kicks to get repeat sets are fantastic. Fogarty's kicks to get repeat sets are fantastic. And we're not getting the reward. And what's the reward? Oh, the NRL telling us that there's a 50-50 contested jump for the ball, like a line out in rugby union, which sucks, or a jump ball in basketball, which sucks. Penalise the bastards if they don't kick it. Like, let the team that's on top...
Which sucks.
Let the team that's attacking keep attacking. Like,
yeah.
You were just saying earlier, Blake, that we're now rewarding the defending team to truck it out. People thought this could be a good rule, and it's not. It's actually, you can see very clearly that it's not working. And I don't know whether the NRL have the humility to admit that, but it's a disaster. And I don't like the dropouts.
You don't know whether the NRL has the humility. Let me clear that one up for you there, Matthew.
They don't.
They don't.
Yeah.
They don't.
Like that one, and I got a couple of friends that played the game, and they're all really angry that the league is now obsessed with speeding up the game because it's causing all these injury issues. Look at what happened to Hosking, right? So the other thing that I don't like is we took away the scrum off a kick out. Like,
yeah,
Ricky Stewart's tactic back in the day was to kick it out. Teams could get their breath, reset their defense, and you go again. It doesn't have to be go.
It's funny, obviously someone's been going to Raiders games since 1983, and I can remember, you know, the days of Ricky at Seaford and at Bruce, where he'd do one of those magnificent touch finders, and he'd find touch just before the corner flag, and the whole crowd would applaud, you know. Now it's nothing.
Yeah.
You kick it in there, and you go, that's a great...
You said that to me last week when Fogarty did that one that went down just in front of the corner post. So that used to be a really good kick. And I thought, it still is a really good kick. It just doesn't have the impact.
No.
If you asked the fans about the dropout, about the kick, and if you asked them about, say, seven tackle sets off an attacking kick or off a dropout, they'd say no, they don't want it. Like, we've gone too far one way, and it's kind of weakening the game when you think you're strengthening it. That's my ice plan.
Well, one of the things is if you're taking a field goal attempt from within the 30-meter area, it should not be a seven tackle. If you're taking a genuine effort, it should not be a second tackle set.
But do we just get rid of Golden Point and just go back to having a draw? Because I think, you know, rugby league is beholden by two masters. One is the broadcasters, obviously, the first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So they wanted Golden Point because they wanted a result in every game, you know, because they didn't want... Pretty much when you had a draw, there was always one team that kind of felt as though they'd done. Yeah. But there was a winner and a loser. But they both got the points. But so the broadcasters want Golden Point. Golden Point's not going anywhere. And then also I too wonder, we've now got a second big master in gambling. Mm. And I mean, do gambling companies want a result, you know, at the end of, or do they just pay on, I don't know.
Well, initially, this happened a few years ago, that if it went to Golden Point, they declared the match a draw, regardless of what the result was after that. And then they paid out if you did a draw. Then a couple of the smart people figured out, well, you're paying 25-1. And if I put on money each week on a draw for each match, and one comes up, I'm on top. Anyway, me and one of a Cronulla Sutherland supporter actually tried this out. He was much better at it. He did it the whole season. He came up from that season, 2016, which is the season with the record amount of draws in it, by the way.
Right.
Golden Point matches, rather. He came out like $2,500 in front from a $5 bet on each one for the season.
Wow.
Anyway, they changed it after that because they realized there was a great big hole in the area. But since then, the Golden Point games have just completely backed off.
I can't stand Golden Point. I think it's like 2020 cricket. I can't stand it. It bothers me that we've cheapened the game. We're making these guys play at such speed for so long. And then
going into our game against the Broncos, where we do have a shorter turnaround than them as well. Well, we've also played, you know, key players like Tarpany end up playing 70 minutes on the weekend. Speaking of Joe Tarpany, incredible performance. We'll get to the man of the match, but my ass clan, honourable mention to Blocker Roach. Is that five weeks in a row now?
Not this week, though, because we've got a Brisbane game. They're not putting Blocker on a Brisbane game.
Oh, so we'll get Corey.
We'll get Corey Parker,
Corey Parker will be Canberra Raiders' number one supporter. Corey Parker will be in there somewhere. But I don't know if everyone saw the Dally M points, but...
Oh, my God.
I do have them here. So Jamal Fogarty got 5 points. You know, he had a good game. Hudson Young, I thought, was very good. He got three.
He was very good. That was his best match this season, in my opinion.
Brian Kelly, 2 points.
Did all right, Brian.
Kieran, 4-1.
Mm.
Josh Papali, 1 point as well. Now, nowhere in the points at all is my man of the match, Joe Tarpany, who was incredible. Like we said, played 70 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Ran for over 300 metres, I think 134 post-contact metres, 32 tackles. Massive game. Couldn't get a single point, Dally M's. What more did he have to do? I think I know the answer. He needed to kick a conversion from the sideline in the last minute. Because Brian Kelly got 2 points, and that's pretty much the most biggest thing he did in the game.
Oh, he was pretty good.
Brian Kelly was good, but he didn't deserve 2 points.
Do you know who doesn't feature in the points at all, and who I thought was by far the Titans' best player, and every time he had the ball in his hands,
unbelievable,
I was worried, was Brimson.
He
didn't get a single point either.
After Tarpany, he was the best player on the field. He brought them back in, dragging them by the hair, by his own sheer will. I saw him in the tunnel afterwards, and I said to him that it was a brilliant match. He wasn't very consoled by that. He was pretty pissed off by the whole
thing. Did he try and fight?
Yeah,
because he tried to fight.
He
tried to fight Chevy Stewart at halftime as well. I don't know what that was all about.
Probably trying to put him off.
Chevy Stewart threw the ball at him. So
no, that was after. That was after, though. I think there was already something.
He pushed Stewart, and Stewart threw the ball at him. Yeah. And then everyone jumped in, and everyone's trying to protect the young rook, which is good. But look, I think Brimo deserved 2 points, maybe Kelly won, but 5 points should have gone not to Fogarty, even though his kicking game probably won us. It's Tarpany. He was the best player on the ground.
He was absolutely outstanding. And when we were really struggling, and he came back on in that second half,
you could see the momentum. You can see
leveled up as soon as he was there. Him and Papa.
You can see Tarpany, especially the difference when he's on the field and on the field. I mean, I thought Sami Sola had a good game again. He looks better every week. I don't think Trey Mooney set the world on fire.
And a lot of distractions during the week with everything that had gone on, contract talk, you know, when's he going to come up and all that sort of stuff. And he came up in that condition. Look, he's a kid. What's he, 19, 20?
I think he's a bit older.
Not much. He did pretty well. He'll do better and better.
He did great, and he's clearly got it. But I think there's a level of intensity and energy that you need, especially as a impact bench middle. And that's one of the things that we've really noticed this year with Pasami Sola. Like, mm-hmm. he's playing amazing, right? And
that's
a player you want to extend. And like,
we already have at the start of the year, we extended Pasami Sola. And at the time, I said, why are we extending Pasami Sola over Trey Mooney and these other people?
Yeah.
And I was at the time, was like, this is a poor decision. But obviously, you know,
again, Joel Carbone, that's what he's doing.
And they'd seen, you know, how much improvements he'd made in the offseason and his commitment and his training.
He has as much impact as a bench forward as anyone in the competition at the moment. You know, Xavier Willison at Brisbane, there's a few others that are doing great, but he's energetic, finding his front. And, you know, but we don't want Trey Mooney to be an impact bench. We want Trey Mooney to be stepping into the Papali'i or even the Tarpane role.
When Foskin got injured, Trey came in, and I swear he wasn't playing in the middle. He was playing on the edge. And that was Trey Mooney was playing at second row in large points.
No, he was
after Foskin got injured.
Marietta went to the edge.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe it's like I was sitting next to you, so I was obviously distracted by your brilliance, but you know, and obviously by Chevy's enormous hoard that came with us there as well. But yeah, look, some fantastic ass clowns there this week. But there was, in fact, something that made me a little bit annoyed. In fact, you might say it grinds my gears.
You know what really grinds my gears?
And you know what grinds my gears? The Raiders in close games. I hate it. And we already said at the beginning of this, it sort of felt like a loss. So I took the boys down to the tunnel to get photos with, and Hutto gave a great photo with the boy, and he was overjoyed with it. And it was all good. But I ran into a number of the club people, and they were all happy, and they were telling me to stop being so grim and take the 2 points and move on and stuff like this. But, you know, there was one very senior person in the club I spoke to after, and I won't name that person, who felt exactly the same way as I did. He was like, same as me, this heart has got so many beats left in it. And when you're coming into matches where it's close like that, where there's no reason for it, I get a bit sick of it. Now, I prefer to be in that close game and win it, but I don't want to be in that close game at all. I want to go to a game where I'm bored out of my brain in regards to how many tries we scored now. Is 11 or 12? I don't know. I want that season. I don't want
these close matches. That's not going to happen broadcast. When you've got an 18-year-old fullback.
I know. Everything you said, but I still think... And this is no slight against Chevy Stewart, who I thought was outstanding in that match for his first game. Like, he did basically nothing wrong, did a match-saving charge down, was absolutely brilliant. But Blarco said to me at the point, we are missing the energy that Rapa brings. And
Not just the energy, the ball play.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like Chevy passed it a couple of times, and obviously he was probably
Rapid down the short side. He creates a 3-on-2, and a lot of that.
But the way when you're up in trouble, he runs at you headlong like a semi-trailer. Like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care who you are or what your reputation is. He's going to go at you like nothing else. And there was an element in that match on the weekend where I completely agreed with you that was missing for it. And it wasn't until Tarpane and Papali'i got back on, where those guys started doing it, you could see the impact it has.
That's on Seb, Chris, Tomoko. That's on the other senior players to pick up that slack, because you can't expect an 18-year-old kid to do it.
Oh, no.
But he grew into the game. Like, his carries in the second half are stronger than the first.
And it was a 19-year-old kid who makes a break down the side that gets us the win. Yeah. You know? So, yeah, no,
do
I agree
think,
with you.
Do you think, Matt?
It grinds my gears in both matches.
Do you think that, just say... Rapper's right to go in 4 weeks. What do you think happens? Do you think Chevy stays at one, or Rapper gets spot on the wing, or Rapper comes straight back in?
Rapper comes straight back in.
Yeah, I think so too.
And then
there's probably a bit to be said for, especially with someone as young as Chevy Stewart is, you know, play a bit of first grade, then send him back.
Yeah, I think Chevy might finish the year in first grade, but I don't think he can play the year out in first grade.
Yeah.
Because of the intensity physically, I think he's going to need a break. I'm glad that we have the buys, because he's going to get a break. I think Rapana will come back in.
Bye, man.
Talking about
buys again.
He's on the buys.
But ultimately, I think...
Someone redraw the bingo squares, because Matt's going to put
Matt talking about the buys in there.
I love a map and I love a
calendar. Do you want me to see if I can get you a special guest spot on James Graham's podcast?
Yeah.
The buy round.
it's where you need to be.
I think Chevy's our future, and I think he's probably our president.
Absolutely, he's our future.
But I don't think he can play 15 weeks straight. So not yet.
But always the plan at the start of the year, we knew it. Rapper's going to start. Chevy's going to come in at some point, fill in for Rapper for a bit, whether it's through injury, suspension, whatever else. Then he'll probably go back to cup for a bit. Rapper will come back in.
And that's why they told Rapper to go get the surgery, and that's why Chevy will get this stint. And if you look at the interview that Fogarty did last week before Chevy's debut, he said, get behind him. He's going to make some mistakes, but he's going to be there for the next little while. So he could have a shocker this weekend. He's going to get picked again. They know that he's our future one. So they're giving him some minutes. And his second half was better than his first. He didn't make mistakes. He caught the ball. He was he dropped when he had to. He jumped when he had to.
Didn't get ragdolled.
He didn't get ragdolled. He obviously he didn't break from the scrum quick enough, and they caught him out with that Kamal Pereira try. Although I think Pereira dropped that ball actually. Andrew Voss tweeted it. He kind of bobbled it, but then they didn't show any replays. But
no, I thought that too.
To be able to win a game for Chevy to win his debut, he said in an interview today how the emotions he's feeling he can't even fathom. Like it's unbelievable that it's just such a good feeling, and to know that we're building something and it's coming sooner, it's just exciting. I actually think we're going to beat Brisbane this weekend.
And, well, let's go into actually looking at the moment and what the actual teams came out of. So going to the Raiders first, we do have Chevy Stewart in jumper number one. James Schiller scored another two tries, but had a bit of struggle in defence on one wing. We got Javier Savage, who did give away
I thought he was great, except for that Harley Smith Shield try where he sort of could have maybe dived on or
should have
showed a little lack of urgency. Yeah,
he did, but that was in his entire match the only thing I saw him do wrong. Everything else, again, he was stunning.
Yeah, I mean, they said, I rewatched the game because we were at the ground and they rewatched it last night. They said, like, by half time, he'd already had like 15 carries and 100 over.
He could play for Queensland this year. That's how
I said that last week. Pork Smokey, I'm standing by. Yeah, I reckon he's red hot chance at least getting called into the squad. Just not look around. He's been that good. He really has. And you're right. He is not short. He's just six and a bit. So he's going to be fine size-wise, and God, he's bulked up. In the centres, look, arguably, I think the best centre combination going around in Matt Timico and Seb Chris. In the centres, we got Dr. Strange, not to be confirmed with the Colonel.
Confused.
Yeah, confused with the Colonel, although some people have done that, apparently. Jamal Fogarty in the 7 jersey. Then the front row, we got Papa Lee in Tarpane with Levi Island in between them. We got Hutto Young, and Adam Mariota has won the competition for getting the 12 jersey. Did see Elliot Whitehead in the tunnel, and he looks okay, but I'm not sure what the time scale is for coming back. I think they've been very careful with that calf injury.
Yeah, he's not even training, so.
Smithy's
still a few weeks. He's enjoying being in the box, I've been told.
Morgan Smithy's in 13. Now, one of the interesting things about the stats was it was recorded that Morgan Smithy's played 91 minutes for the match, which is a really good trick for a match that ran for 90 minutes. But notably, he did not come off, I think is what we take from
that. He didn't
miss
a tackle. He made 42 tackles. He didn't miss a tackle. For over 150 metres.
People have been talking about the kid from who got suspended from the West Tigers being the rookie of the year, or Zach Hosking being the buy of the year, or Ethan Strange, or what. So far, buy of the year is Morgan Smithies. You know, the rookie, I'm not sure if he can be called a rookie or ever, but the buy of the season so far is Morgan Smithies.
He can't.
But 90 minutes he plays in that match, and he's outstanding the entire time.
It may be, but I bet you there is a stat that Morgan Smith is going this way will definitely win. I don't reckon there will be an NRL football player that's played more minutes in the forwards in their first season of NRL than what Smithies is going to do this year.
Yeah, he's been remarkable. On the bench, we got Tommy Starling at 14. Simi Sasagi's come back up, which I think is a really good call. His speed and his mongrel around the stuff is exactly sort of what we needed against the Titans. It's the sort of thing that was going to bust them. Trey Mooney in the 16 jersey and Sami Solo in the 17 jersey. So the Titans, not Titans. What's the other club that's up there in the northeastern corner?
I've got some breaking news.
Oh, there's breaking news.
Knights have signed James Schiller.
The Knights have joined.
Knights have signed James Schiller.
When?
Now.
What?
As in now?
Yeah.
Like he's gone.
Well, at the end of the season, I think. Yep. That's a shock. Did not see that coming.
Timmy Schiller. Yeah, right.
Did not see that coming at all. That's really disappointing. You don't get breaking news on this show in real time.
No, well, you've got that there. So that means Pork Smokey. Is Nick Kotrick's off the extended bench and onto the wing.
No, it's not going to happen. Ricky's not that. Once upon a time, maybe.
Hopewadi, but that's...
Yeah, that's quite disappointing.
CNK was fit for the second half of the season, and he stayed in Reggie's for exactly that reason. That's fine. You can go do what you want, but you're not the future, and we're not playing it. Yeah. When you've got Asamoah sitting behind there, why on earth would you be going off with Jimmy Schiller if he wants to go play somewhere else?
Well,
it's understood that the lure to play centre in the Knights was a contributing factor behind Schiller's decision to quit Canberra.
Well, because one of the things he sort of said post this match and the recent matches and how he's been caught out of position playing on the wing is that he trained, you know, trained all off-season at centre.
Yeah.
So obviously it's different because one of the things he's been doing on the wing, he's been coming in.
He's been terrible in defence there, but
But geez, that gutting. Anyway,
my heart just goes out to his number one fan, Mike from the Green Machine podcast.
That is just really taking the wind out of
himself. He's going to be shattered. I better text him right now.
I'm a big, big fan of Jimmy Schiller, and I'm very sad about that. So Pork Smokey, yeah, I would have no problem at all if Ricky...
Because I read the other day that we were opening discussions to re-sign Nick Kotrick. And like I say, I was quite shocked that we were entertaining the prospect.
I don't want to sign Nick Kotrick again.
No, we've got to move on.
I don't mind signing him.
But I also think the club's moved on, right? We've got Rapana. We've also got Xavier Savage.
Rapana's not going to be here next year.
No, but hear me out. Just in the pecking order right now, it's Rapana, Savage, and then we've got Schiller, Hopewadi, and Asamoah will be the next up before Kotrick after what happened in the game. He's our fifth winger. And
he's on more money than anyone.
Yeah, well, he won't be next year. But losing Schiller's that's a blow to the club, and I know for a fact that the guys that coached him this year and that coached him last year thought very, very highly of him.
I think very highly. Bloody highly. I'm pissed off about
Justin,
that.
Justin loves him. So they've obviously, if you think about Dan Gagai's, Gagai might no, it's not. It's signed. So Gagai must be going to the open market. They've got Bradman Best. They need a centre, and they've gone after him.
Maybe gay guys going to England or something like that.
That sucks. Yeah. All right. So the Broncos, talking about sucks, they got Reece Walsh with his headgear at number one. Awesome player. I think we can all agree. Those eyes are to die for. You've got Corey Oates, the old stager, on one wing. And on the other, you've got Jesse Arthurs, who has been playing very good football and is a very fast and good winger. Great finisher.
Corey Oates turns slower than a bus.
He does, but he's got experience and he's good in the air. He's the Kyle Felt of the Broncos.
Kyle Felt's a bit quicker than
him. Yeah, but he'll get under the high ball. He's got a bit of mongrel. He'll make his tackles. There's nothing wrong with Corey.
I've always liked him, but I think that, you know, hopefully he's a weakness that we can exploit.
I just said that I think we've got the best centre combination in the rugby league in Timoko and Chris.
That's pretty good,
but,
that one.
But Katoni Staggs and Selwyn Cobbo, that's a pretty good centre combination right there. That strike and power and good defence and all of those things. Then they've got Ezra Mamm.
We've lost Matt. He's gone. He's going to get a stiff drink.
That Schiller news has upset him. We got Ezra Mamm in the six, and we got Jock Madden in the seven. So we still do not have...
He's going to get another drink. He's shattered.
He's shattered. He's upset. He might be.
There's probably an echo on the microphone because my headphones clicked off, but I'm going to get two drinks.
And then
I'm fucking shitty.
One for you.
Yeah.
And one to pour out for your dead mate, James Schiller.
He's dead.
We need to start a new segment. Bring back Semi.
Yeah. Well, maybe
you could be the one to start negotiations, because he seems to be, you know, you said that he'd be getting a run by now, but he's on the outer up there. So
no, he's starting this weekend.
Is he?
Oh well, then you got in the front row for the Bronx. What a front row it is too. You got Corey Jansen and Fletcher Baker and Billy Wallace in between them, mate. That there you go. And then you got Jaden Hunt in the 11, and then Jordan Rickey with all his munger on the 12, and then Paddy Carrigan in the 13.
Very popular with the children, Jordan Rickey.
And why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, he's easy on the eye, as they say.
He is easy on the eyes. Then you got Tyson Smoothie. Now, how many clubs has Smoothie had now?
He was at Melbourne, and then was he at the Titans?
I can't remember the second one, but this has got to be his third club. But he's in the 14 jersey. Then you've got Xavier Willison, who we know is a great impact player off the bench. He's been doing very good stuff there. Kobe Hetherington, who, of course, got sent off against us for basically performing the role of being... telegraph pole that a player ran into, which was the weirdest send-off we ever seen.
It was a lot easier to get sent off a couple of years ago.
Oh, it was, but that was the most ludicrous one. He did nothing. Like he got run into and he got sent off for, you know, someone's head running into his shoulder. Then he got Tristan Saylor.
Tyson Smooth, he's only been at two clubs.
Has he?
Melbourne Storm. And then now the Broncos.
And the Broncos.
He's only 24.
Yeah, right. And then we got Tristan Saylor, Wendell's boy, in the 17 jersey there. Look.
You look at that team and you go, the obvious advantage we have over the Broncos side, and this is what we say every single week, is the forward pack, Matt.
The forward pack.
It's not just that. Their bench rotation, if you talk to Broncos fans or listen to Bloke in the Bar and Dan Kemp, the fact that they're carrying Smoothie and Saylor on the bench is a big problem.
Saylor's an odd one to carry.
You don't carry Saylor and Smoothie. You don't carry a utility and then a small outside back utility. It affected them on the weekend when they played the Dolphins, and the Dolphins were shit, and the Dolphins were beating them until Hammer went off. They got their impact when Willison came on. They didn't score a point until Xavier Willison came on. So if there is a Smokey, it could be maybe holding back Papali'i to match up with Willison. They were getting overrun until Hammer went off and Willison came on. So for us, you know, think about it. Like, who are they bringing on? They're bringing on bloody Willison and Kobe Hetherington.
But he's not.
And what's going to happen for us is when Simi Sasagi is going to come on the edge.
Yeah.
Mariota is going to move into the middle.
Yeah.
He's going to spell
Papa.
Papa in the middle, and then he'll come off 5 minutes later, and that's when Trey Mooney will come on. So, Papa will go off first when Saulo comes on.
Yeah.
And then Sasagi will come on, Mariotta will go in the middle.
Yeah.
And then Mooney will come on, and that's the way they do it. They kind of rotate through.
It's interesting that the middle rotation against the Titans got messed up because Hosking went off.
Yeah.
And then, so when Tommy Starling came on, he was actually playing 13 or proper. I don't know whether Smithies was still 13 or Tommy Starling was 13.
Berry was, but he was.
And that's why people always say, oh, why do we have Carey Starling on the bench? One of the reasons why Ricky has him on the bench is because of that coming on, you know, when the game's ragged, can scoot out of dummy half at nine, but he can also come through and just play through the middle, which he did in that game as well.
Yeah, and he did well.
Yeah, for about 5 minutes. And then Levi goes off for the last 20.
Bearing in mind all of these things, though, it probably is the right time to look at the extended bench, who's on the extended bench, because there may well be Smokies in there. For them, they've got Marty Tapau. Just like Ryan James before him, he's out to pasture now. He's in the 18 jersey. He may come in because they need someone, but he's not what he was.
I'd love it if he did.
We've got Benjamin Takura, who's actually got a few chops in there. He's in the 19 jersey. Jordan Pereira, he's an outside back, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's a winger that played at St. George, and if they were smart, they'd be starting him over Corey Oates. Corey Oates is slow, and we can manipulate Corey Oates.
That's possible.
James Schiller or Savage will get around Oates. Sorry, mate. After
they will. And then you got Blake Moser, who I know nothing about in the 21.
I told you last week, last year.
What?
He's like, isn't he like the most highly rated young nine in Queensland? Is that
Moser? Right. There you go. Yeah. And then you got Hosea Carpani.
He was the cat. So last year, when the under-19s Origin game, which had featured Trey Mooney, Mooney was in here before. Mother. Last year was Strange, Sanders, and Chevy Stewart all played.
Mm.
But he was the captain of Queensland, Blake Moser. He's the hooker and captain of
Well, Billy Walters got that spot, right? So I don't see really any Hardwicks on there at all. Maybe a little bit of Pereira at the moment, but, you know, that'll be a half hard week. For us on the extended bench, we've got Kyo Weeks in the 18. Surely he's going to get a chance soon. Emre Gula.
Hang on a second. Marty Tapau is definitely at least a hard week, if not a hard week and a half.
All right. Okay, he's a hard week. So what are we getting?
He's more than a hard week. How many game test matches has he played for New
Zealand? All right.
Two hard weeks.
We'll give him two hard weeks and then one hard week for the rest of them combined. So they're up to three. Right. Then for us, we get Kyo Weeks in the 18. We got Emre Gula, who's got to be a Hardwick.
He is
the definition
the modern
of a
day equivalent of
Hardwick. Right.
And like, he's played in the grand final, as did Kevin Hardwick.
We got Zach Wolford. He has to be at least
on a losing side.
He has to be at least half a Hardwick. Yeah. Got Nick Kotrick. He's played in the grand final. He's played State of Origin. He's got to be a Hardwick.
He once upon a time he was probably several Hardwicks.
Yeah,
and now he's arguably one.
So you got
minus,
Peter
minus a Hardwick.
So we got one, two, three. It is a draw for Hardwicks. It's 3-on-3. So the extended bench is a draw. But I would say
who's coming up?
Smokey.
Nick Kotrick.
Is Nick Kotrick is coming in for Jimmy Schiller. And Ork Smokey Pereira is going to come in for Oates for exactly the reason you're talking about. They're just not fast enough. But I think it's a dead heat for the extended bench this week. Now, I've looked at the weather. It's going to be an apparent temperature of 25. There might be a light rain during the match. So the conditions shouldn't be too bad for the boys, but they'll be up against a hostile crowd up there. Anyway, the devastation of Jimmy Schiller leaving. I don't know. I don't know how he'd do it. I guess we maybe have to lift. So maybe it's time for... Who's got a lift?
Much better with you back on board for that one, Tim.
Yeah, you guys. That was one of the negatives I got, was that you guys just weren't doing the stings very well while I wasn't here.
That was pretty much the only negative thing I can get. Apart from that.
I told you, I'm just here to be the eye candy. Just here to be the eye candy. And be prodigiously
like
right
candy
about
on a podcast. There's nothing better.
All right, let me have a think. A couple of our Who's Got a List in the past have come up. So we said Hutto, and Hutto's been fantastic.
Hutto's been great the last 2 weeks. He's been great. And also, too, it's weekend.
It's very clear after the last 10 minutes who's got a fucking lift. It's James motherfucking Schiller. You got a lift, James.
We should do a mid-season switch and get the highly prized Phoenix Crossland.
No, we don't want to.
Who would you switch for James Schiller out of Newcastle right now?
I want the Sci-Fi Brothers.
Kalen Ponga. There's no one in that team. Oh no, I'd have Kai Pierce-Paul.
Yeah.
I would have Bradman Best.
Yep.
I would happily bring back Leo Thompson.
Yeah. Yep.
That's about it. There's not too many I'd honestly want. I watched that game last week, and Ponga aside, yeah, people were saying that it's ridiculous that Ponga gets paid that much money. He should be getting paid more money. I didn't realize, like, I knew that Jamal Fogarty's kicking game this year has been fantastic. But after watching that game and watching Hastings kick the ball, my God. It was truly because Ponga couldn't kick anymore after he did his hit point.
Yeah. And Hastings, it was like a pop gun.
Oh, it was horrific.
It was so short.
Did you watch that game, mate?
It wasn't great watching.
But one thing that I've noticed is not many teams have a good kicking game this year.
No, like it's really noticeable. It's real South as well. It's really noticeable.
Well, you've got
Roosters. The Roosters is terrible.
Roosters has never been great.
But as soon as Reynolds is out, they Broncos don't have a good kicking game. It's why if you go the rugby league eye test, and I know Dan at the Sportress, and I mention him often, but rugby league eye test put out some statistics about where certain sides are attacking points and where they're starting their sets to where they're letting opposition start their sets. And it's Fogarty's, he's playing at a state of origin level right now. Yeah. He's not getting the press.
I mean, up there? DCE, Ben Hunt, Moses. Is anyone really, the Storm kind of mix it up? They don't really have any.
Jerome Hughes is kicking.
Yeah.
Jerome Hughes is a good kicker.
Yeah.
No, Jerome Hughes he's not a great kicker though. He's a
good kicker.
The best kickers in the comp.
DCE.
Nathan
Cleary.
Nathan Cleary, Adam Reynolds.
Adam Reynolds.
Hunt's good.
Burton's got a good long kick, but Moses is a great long kick.
But that bomb that Jamal Fogarty put up in the first half, we saw that live at the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is as good as any bomb.
Exactly.
What's his name's put up?
Burton. What's amazing Burton's about Fogarty too is Fogarty's he's crafted it off. He's learned. This is the difference between him and Burton, I think. Burton just booted the shit out of it, right? Midfield, deep field, whatever. Fogarty, he perfected his craft off where he was landing the ball. Yeah. Think about the way we beat Cronulla in Brisbane when we terrorized Sione Katoa and Seb Chris scored 2 or 3 tries. Mm-hmm. Every ball was landing a meter out. Yeah. And you can tell that he's actually having an influence on the way Strange is kicking. Like we have the best kicking game in the competition. We have the best forward pack in the competition.
Strange looks very
so we're going to be in every single game. Yeah, because he looks.
I was watching
him
in the wall because he goes just puts his head out of the thing. He looks so nice.
But Strange looks at his foot.
How many kicks?
He looks like a golfer hitting.
apart from when we've been trying to do the short at the line and actually contest in the air and score a try, how many kicks this season have gone just that little bit too long and been caught in the in-goal for a second tackle set? Bugger all.
Yeah, hardly ever. At the start of the year, there was a podcast, pretty well-known league podcast, that did their Raiders preview. One of the hosts is a Raiders fan, and they sort of perpetuated the line that halves all die. Ricky is the destroyer of halves and all the rest of it. Jamal Fogarty this year has gone to such another level under Ricky. And I know Ricky's helped him with his kicking, but the other guy that is actually the kicking coach at the club is Bishop as well, Bishop, Kenny Rogers.
Kenny, I don't think he's going to like being called Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers. But he's not actually a league player.
No, he's an AFL player.
He was Ainsley legend, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he knows how to kick a ball. But you wouldn't have thought a torpedo bomb was one of them, but there you go. It's out there. Look, for me, who's got a lift is Nick Kotrick when he comes in off the extended bench to go to his place on the wing. Because he really, like, if you're opening contract negotiations, Nikolai, you have been given another chance because Jimmy Schiller has defected. You've been given another chance to come in and prove your worth. Take it with two hands, Nick. Lift. Show us the Nick of old that we all know and love, and do it. That's who I've got.
Speaking of rugby league eye tests and statistical analyses of runs and players, and did you see that someone actually tagged me in a tweet, and I was like, oh my God, the crab is real. There's actually statistics that have shown in recent years how much more sideways.
It's about how direct you run. And
yeah, and over the years.
DWZ is a direct runner. Yeah, he's getting more crabby.
He's getting more crab-like over the years.
So sad. All right. Yes, right. But talking about people who got a lift, time to rip in with Arnie J.
G'day, Raiders fans. Well, out of jail a bit last week and happy to get the 2 points, but we have given ourselves the full extra time treatment. This makes a shorter turnaround even more challenging for our coaching staff. As far as our team stats goes, we are holding our own with everyone in the comp, including the Broncos. Scoring is a challenge at times, so we need to be throwing more at times in the attacking zone. The one out stuff, kicking is good. We're scoring enough points, but it needs to get better. I do love Hutto's mousetrap play, so let's see some more creativity like that. One plus for us this week is we are up against a weaker Broncos team with no Haas and no Reynolds. The back five has been doing more than their fair share of grunt work as far as meters gained, and they are big bodies, so they pose a challenge to stop their go forward and their aerial and attack when we are defending. Our short list to stop this week are Walsh, Cobbo, Carrigan, Ezra Mam and Jordan Rickey. The Broncos score 44% of their tries on their left, and that is where Walsh will be hunting. They concede 52% of their tries on their left, so we need to keep rucking it down Hutto, Chris and Savage's side and create as much room for Tim McCaw and Schiller with the ball. So we do have a tough away ask this week. But if our forwards can win the middle, and they certainly can, then we can nullify their back five as much as possible with Fogg's kicking game. If we do both of those things, we are in with a real shot of a fantastic away win that no one would have penciled in, bar the Canberra coaching staff, at the start of the season. Enjoy your week of footy, and go, you green machine.
So, there are many, many things that we got to, you know, be happy about at this time. But there are so many things. There are so many reasons to be cheerful.
Reasons to be cheerful. Part three.
You know what my number one reason to be cheerful is? I always love it when it's another team screaming into the void about a decision they think they should have got, but it doesn't matter because have a look at the scoreboard. And this one's for you, Clarkie. Have a look at the scoreboard, you pillock. Have a look at the scoreboard.
But this is the thing. These people like these Knights fans and stuff will say that we're a favoured team. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, good teams get the calls. Well, we're a good team now.
Oh, we're a good team.
When did anyone at NRL HQ want Canberra to prosper? Oh, it's because they're public servants.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, of course they are. But when we got robbed by that against the Warriors a few seasons ago with that hideous forward pass that went through for that try, And we were screaming and people were just going at us. We were basically saying we never get a call. And then this season,
Henry Perinara's last game.
Yeah, we're a favourite side. Yeah. That's fantastic.
His last game on the field or the forward pass.
No, he went to the bunker.
On the field. Because,
but I think we were part of his last game in the bunker and his last game in the...
Yeah, we were. But that was...
What about the forward pass?
Can I say one thing as well? Yeah. Can I just make one thing about the Casey Badger demotion? Everyone's saying the Casey Badger's been demoted from refereeing first grade this week because of missing the field goal and everything else. She wasn't refereeing first grade the week before. So it's not as though she was a sure thing to be refereeing. So there's the core group of
referees. She's on the sideline this weekend too.
Yeah. So there's the core group and then there's the other ones that they rotate in and out. Do you know who we've got this week? Chris Butler.
Yeah, we've got Chris Butler. Yeah. And we've got John Stone on one wing. I can't remember who's on the other wing.
Scroll down.
Did see it. I did see it. On one wing, we've got John Stone. And the other one, we've got Jared
Cole. Casey's in the video.
And Casey's in the video ref. And I think she's absolutely... Now, look, the thing about Casey's performance, yes, okay. She let them hold down. She let them put hands all over the ball. And yes, maybe she should have reviewed the charge down. But I guarantee you the bunker was watching that live and would have called it if they thought it was there.
No, but
she
one of
was
the
100% consistent about what she did.
Graham Annesley also said that the people responsible for getting the offside for the charge down are the touch judges.
Yeah.
It's not on the referee because the referee is looking at the play of the ball and looking at the markers. The touch judges are meant to look at the offside line at that position. So that's not on her. She's been dropped unfairly. I thought she did a really good job. I didn't notice her for most of the game. Suddenly Des Hasler kicks up a stink because he's on four and his side's let in 28 points a game, which is a record in the NRL era. So he's trying to deflect because he knows if he puts more pressure on the referee next week, they might get a result because their team's a mess. Yeah, they play good for 5 minutes. Up until the 75th minute, they were terrible. And that's one of the things I want to get to, guys. You know, we didn't say in the review earlier. I thought we played really, really well. One of the things that we did, and I know you were at the game, Blake, and this is different. On the weekend, I knew the result when I watched the game, so we didn't have the anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that we got repeat sets. We didn't panic. Yes, we didn't break them down, but we have a young team that was trying to unpick a door and they kept going and they went, okay, let's try another key. Let's try another key.
The most frustrating point in that set I was talking about was there was one set where Strange and maybe the next ruck or the one after Hudson Young both had to just surrender on the ground, voluntarily because they'd gone behind a decoy.
Well, that was like the highlight of the frustration. But that's when our edge players weren't quite right. And that mistake won't happen again. What I did notice on the weekend and what I'm really glad is that we went for the repeat set again. We went for the repeat set again. And yes, we didn't have maybe the skill or the potential or the danger to break them down and strip them out wide like we did a week before. But man, you both must remember what it was like being a Raiders fan 3 years ago when we got a repeat set and we'd panic and we'd just go crash ball or a weird kick or a big pass. You know, like we could see the panic set in on the team. That didn't happen.
No, we used to be the worst. Yeah, we used to be the worst team at getting repeat sets. We used to never get repeat sets until 1 year we got the most repeat sets in the league. Do you know what year that was?
2019.
It was indeed.
Yeah. And a lot of our statistics at that rugby league eye test are very similar to 19. And there are more.
It's brewing. It's brewing. You get on board. Like,
honestly, guys, that game on the weekend, there are more little fruits that are about to blossom, flowers, than the week before. Yes, the week before we had that early dynamic spreading of the ball and we were stripping them. They were prepared for that this week. They selected.
That's what Ricky said in the presser.
And the Gold Coast Titans changed their lineup in 24 hours before. They picked two fast wingers. They brought in Khan Pereira. They brought in Jojo Fifita because they knew that's the way we're going to play.
Yeah.
You're right, Pork. They might bring in Pereira because Corey Oates cannot handle our wingers this weekend. No. We will strip him. And I'm really proud that the way that we played, we didn't panic. I remember watching the Raiders 5 years ago. I'm rabbit and on, but I know the fans must see this too. When we get like a six again, or we get a repeat set, we go into like shit panic mode, and we just go crash ball, kick. Like we didn't know how to play off the cuff, and we're learning that.
But I think we're also seeing, like, you know, I used to always say that the Raiders were the dumbest team in the league. I was convinced of that fact, and I think that up until this year, the go-to was Jack. when things got frantic, the go-to was Jack. And I love Jack as a player, and I think, you know, I'm glad to see he's doing well at South Sydney. But his football IQ is low.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that people are seriously trying to say that he should be selected at now.
Regardless of that, all you need to do is look at our extra time football this weekend. It was smart. Look at that set of six after Strange made the break. It was, mate, it was the game on the... There were so many smart decisions without the result on the weekend that we should be as happy with this weekend's game.
Is this a reason? Are we still having reasons to be cheerful? Is this reason to be cheerful?
Matthew clearly is.
there are that many reasons to be cheerful on this game against the Titans as the game against the Parramatta. I promise you. Because this is a young side learning how to
feel so
win,
much better about this now, because I was a bit deflated. And I mean, look, watch I was the game, really, watch... it's been a roller coaster this episode.
You've made
at the
a
start,
you've
I
made
was up about, light,
Matthew.
About Ethan Strange. Then just mid-episode, I got kicked in the guts by Jimmy Schiller.
Jimmy Schiller. Oh, my goodness.
Watch the game again before this weekend. Watch the game again with rose-colored glasses, thinking about the young spine and the right decisions they made. It just,
I'm trying to, but I just keep on seeing Jimmy Judas Schiller.
Just Judas Schiller. It's true. And anyway, look. So we got the Broncos this Saturday night, right? Up there, right? Then we come back here on Sunday, the 28th of April, 4:05 against the Sharkies, which be interesting to see how many of Chevy Stewart's mob come down for that one, because they will definitely be torn. They're the Shire boys. But yeah, I'd say they'll be on that side. And look, they boost the crowd figure, that horde, didn't it? It was at least 50 of them.
No, 150 or 200.
There was a lot. Yeah. Then after that one, we then go away on Friday, the 3rd of May, and the prime Friday night, 6 o'clock spot, to play at Brookvale Oval against the Seagulls.
Tough game.
Very tough game.
In the sandpit.
They don't like us. We don't like them. I think, you know, and we've beaten them up there. So, like, and we've laughed at them when we did it. And then we get a nice bye. You happy with that, Matthew? Bye.
Look, I love
what
it.
What are you going to do on bye week? Most fans, they're kind of like, oh, bye week. But he plans his season. He plans his year-round bye week.
He does. But then the week after that, we then go into the
you
bye
can
round.
Watch
we
football.
Go to Magic Round up against the Bulldogs, who don't have a bye round. They do have a good, they have a 7-day turnaround. We go up against the Bulldogs.
I get
again,
that it's
at the prime 6 p.m. Friday night spot.
I get that it's the 30th anniversary of the 1994 grand final, but that'll be the third time we've played the Bulldogs in Magic Round now?
Yep. Yeah, and we played Darkies there and Sharkies and the Bulldogs.
Roosters first year.
Sharkies.
No, and Roosters, Bulldogs. Sharks, Bulldogs.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've still got a Guernsey every year for Magic Round because I was convinced we'd be one of the teams that would be not invited to the party.
Well, this year, the team not invited to the party is the George Illawarra Dragons. Now, we've got merch, haven't we?
We do. So, Raiders by 56 beanies. I saw some of the ground on the weekend. And I also got sent a picture by Shane Dobson wearing his Mount Etna.
Mount Etna. It is in his boot. Well done, Shane. Oh, that's absolutely outstanding stuff there.
Yeah, so we've still got a few left, and we've got some Blake and the Pork stickers. So jump onto landspeed.com.au and grab your Raiders by 56 beanie. I reckon there's only like three or four left now.
Yeah, if you can find them.
Yeah, no, they're here. They're here. They're
I'm
very
sure joint. They're here. I mean, they're probably keeping
so ask the rat. Ask the rat.
The rat. Is that the chief rat in this
King rat.
Store in the King last action?
And of
we'll
course,
never reveal.
The shirts you can get from rugbyleaguemerch.com.
Our great friends there as well, which is fantastic. Anyway.
Oh, and whatever platform you're on, whether it be Apple or Spotify or something else, subscribe. You won't miss an episode. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review.
Give us the top rating. You can be as scathing as you want in the comments. Please be as scathing as you want in the comments.
If you leave a comment, we'll read it out.
We will. We'll absolutely read it out.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, you have been listening to the podcast, formerly known as the third most popular Raiders podcast on the internet, Raiders Review with Blake and Port and Heather.
Blake and the Port. Blake and the Pork! Blake and the Pork! It's been 7 hours and half the day since you signed with Newcastle. I cry out every night and weep all day since you signed with Newcastle. you're gone, we can do whatever we want. We can play you and Reggie's again. We can dump you from the team for Harper or Nick, because you're leaving. I said you're leaving has caused us lots of pain. So now you don't care. You won't play first grade again.